This morning I want to talk to you about, yet was not the net broken. Yet was not the net broken. Go with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and we're going to start with verse 1. John 21 verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fishes which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. John chapter 21 verse 3, Peter said, I go fishing. And then there were other disciples that responded and said, we go fishing with you. Now when you truly approach this passage of scripture with a prayerful heart, what you really see here is discouraged men. What you hear in their words is the tone of discouragement. When these men get into their boats, you can feel the weight of discouragement upon these men as they get into their boats and they begin to launch out into the deep to go fishing. But see, the question that comes to my heart when I look at this scripture is, why are these men discouraged? You see, Jesus had died on the cross, but the scriptures say that he appeared to them and showed himself alive before this episode with the nets and the boats happened. The Bible says that Jesus has already come to them and has shown them that he has triumphed over death, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and that he's the mighty God. He is the all-triumphant God. He's already come and he's revealed that to their hearts. They know that this man, they know Jesus is alive. They know he's alive. If you look with me at verse 14, John 21 verse 14 says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was raised from the dead. So we see that twice before this, Jesus has already revealed himself to these men. Jesus has already showed them that he's conquered death. He's triumphed over death. He's the Almighty God. And I want you to take note here in verse 14 when it says that he showed them that he was alive. This doesn't mean that he just showed up. What this word simply means is that Jesus made it a point to fully prove and convince them that he was alive. So they knew that Jesus was alive. They knew that he had conquered the grave. He had conquered death. They knew that he was the all-triumphant king. They knew this. So the question again is, why were they discouraged when we find them in John chapter 21? Well, I believe a big part of it was that deep in their heart, they knew Jesus was calling them to walk with him in a way that was no longer familiar to them. I believe within their heart there was this underlying fear because Jesus was no longer the same man that they would sit around campfires with. Jesus was no longer the same man that they would go for walks in vineyards and listen to him tell stories and tell parables. They knew that the way that they knew him and the way that they walked with him, everything was about to change. Everything was about to change. Everything that they had become familiar with was about to change. Now I want you to go with me. Place a marker in John chapter 21. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 24. Verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us and when he opened up the scriptures? Here we find in Luke 24 the story of two men leaving Jerusalem, and they're on their way to Emmaus. And the Bible says here that Jesus drew near and he began to talk with them. And the Bible says as he began to expound to them out of the scriptures, showing that the Messiah was to die and to suffer on the cross and be raised again. As he was expounding to them the scriptures, the Bible says as he was doing this, their hearts began to burn as he was speaking to them and opening up the scriptures. Now, what this simply means when it says their heart was beginning to burn, it simply means that there was so much life in what Jesus was sharing. That Jesus was drawing so much life out of the scriptures and he was speaking it to them. And what was happening is they were finding life in the Word of God as he was expounding the scriptures. And then the Bible says that he went into a house with them and he broke bread. And then the Bible says, and their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Now, when Jesus vanished out of their sight, Jesus was telling these men something. What Jesus was telling them is simply this. As he's telling all of his followers, what he's telling them is this. You're no longer to walk by sight, but now you're to walk by faith. It's what the Lord is speaking to them. It's not a sight walk anymore. It's a walk of faith. If you're going to continue to know me, if you're going to continue to grow in me, if you're going to continue to walk with me and hear my voice, it will be through the scriptures. When I speak to you, when I want to speak to you, when I want to comfort you, when I want to strengthen you, when I want to direct you, it will be the Holy Spirit breathing life into the scriptures and speaking my heart to you. And over again, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus confirms this. There's three or four different places in Luke 24 when he comes to his disciples and he opens up the scriptures and begins to expound the scriptures. And the Lord is speaking something here. The way that you knew me is changing. It's no longer the way, the familiarity that you had with me and the way that I walked with you and talked with you, it's changing. I'm no longer going to be with you in the flesh anymore. We're no longer going to sit by campfires and go through walks and hear stories in the vineyards. But now if you're going to know me and continue to grow in me, it's going to be your relationship with me through the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is going to take the Word of God and he's going to continue to grow you. He's going to continue to speak to you through the scriptures. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to give you life. That's what Jesus is saying here. In essence, what Jesus is saying is simply this. It's going to be through my word that you are going to receive life. It's going to be through my word that I'm going to speak to you and strengthen you. In essence, what the Lord is saying to his disciples, it's time that you truly begin to draw life from my word. You will find all the resources that you need in my word. And this was unfamiliar to the disciples. The disciples were used to having him in the flesh speaking to them. And they were used to having him in the flesh encouraging them and speaking and giving them commandments and direction. But they weren't going to have that anymore. They were going to have to learn to draw life from the word of God. They were going to have to learn to draw life from the word of the Lord. And I believe this is where many saints are at today. The Lord desires to teach us to draw life from his word. And it is a fearful place because there are many saints who have other familiar places where they're so used to drawing comfort. There are many saints who have not truly learned to draw life from the word of God. They do not go to the word of God when they're frightened. They do not go to the Word of God when they're lonely. They do not go to the Word of God when they need direction and encouragement. Because they have so many familiar places where they're used to drawing comfort. Now, many saints, just thinking about this, many saints find their comfort in so many different places. And I was just thinking about this. So many other things that we're familiar with. Many saints find their comfort in many things. And when I think about this, I think of people. When we get lonely, we run to people. When we're hurting, we run to people. When we run into problems that need solutions, we run to people. And sometimes God will put us in places and circumstances where we have to look away from what is familiar and begin to look to His Word. And I'm, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying there's not a place for the body of Christ to minister to those who are lonely, to minister to those who are hurting, to minister to those who just need a word of direction. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, there has to come a time in our life where we learn to draw life from the Word of God. When we're lonely, we know how to go to the Word of God and allow God to speak to our hearts and comfort us. When we're hurting, we know how to go to the Word of God and draw life and resources from the Word of God. I think about that. Another familiar thing that so many people find comfort in times of hardship and difficulty and loneliness and things like this, is places. We want to begin to look back to old familiar places. We can say things like, when it gets hard and difficult, we can say things like, you know what, I just want to go home. I want to go back home. How many of you have been there? I want to go home. Or we say things like, I just don't desire to be here anymore. It's too hard. It's too difficult. What I really want to do is I want to leave this place and find somewhere that's easier. But there comes a time when God will say running to easier places is not the answer. The answer is to look into my word and you will find life and you will find strength and you will find comfort and you will find your peace and your joy in the word of the Lord. See, we have to learn to find our strength and joy in the Word of the Lord, because when you're in the will of God, there's going to be all kinds of opposition. There's going to be all kinds of trials. There's going to be all kinds of persecution. There's going to be all kinds of onslaught from the enemy. I'm talking about horrendous trials and horrendous attacks by the enemy. And the only thing that's going to cause us to keep going and to go forward in the will of God is finding Christ in His Word. Finding His strength in His Word. That's the only thing that's going to cause us to keep going, is finding Him in His Word. Again, when Christ desires to take us deeper in our faith, He brings us to places where we have to look away from the familiar and lean more upon His Word. We see this so clearly in the Scriptures, how great people of faith became great people of faith because they had to leave what was familiar and learn to truly lean upon and trust the Word of the Lord. The only thing Abraham went into Canaan land with was the word of the Lord. The only thing Jacob went into Laban's house with was the word of the Lord. The only thing Joseph went down to Egypt with was the word of the Lord. The only thing Daniel went into Babylon with was the word of the Lord. They had to learn to trust the word of the Lord. Just give you a personal testimony. Me and my wife has just passed through this. That's why it's so real to my heart. The Lord put us in a place, in a situation where there was nobody to turn to. There was nobody to talk to. And I think we've all been in those places where the Lord puts us there, because we have to truly turn to the Lord. And we were in this place where there was really nobody to talk to, because there was nobody who would really understand what God was calling and asking of our life. But never before have we leaned upon the word of the Lord as in that time. And it would be daily, it would seem like it would be daily, that the Lord would put a scripture on my heart, or the Lord would put a scripture on my wife's heart, and we would sit down together and we would begin to talk about what God was speaking and what God was saying, and we would draw strength from the word of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I can honestly say I have come out of that time with such a greater faith in the word of the Lord. I have such a great faith in opening my Bible and saying, God, I need a word from you. God, I need direction from you. God, I just need something to speak to my heart. God, I just need life. Lord, I need you to breathe life into me. And I know what it's like to be drawn to the word of the Lord and God just begin to speak out of His word. And there's such life in it, brothers and sisters. And there are going to be times God is going to take you away from what's familiar. He's going to take us away from what's familiar. He has these ways that he can do it. And the only place that you can turn to is the word of the Lord. But when you turn to the word of the Lord, you begin to find his life. You begin to find his strength. You begin to find his encouragement in the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to look with me again at John chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now listen to that. They get into this boat, the old place of familiarity, boats and nets, and they go fishing all night and they don't catch anything. And when you really look at this scripture, you can just feel the emptiness in these empty nets. You can feel the despair that are in these empty nets. You can just sense something in their heart as they look at these empty nets they've been fishing all night. You can just sense something in their heart saying, this is so dead. This is so despairing. There is absolutely no life in this. You can sense the deep disappointment in their heart because they were let down by what was familiar. Brothers and sisters, we all know what it's like to put our expectations into something and to be let down by it. And that's what these men are feeling, such a deep dreg of discouragement. When we are let down by the familiar, we can begin to feel hopeless. That's what I sense is in the heart of these disciples as they look at these empty nets. They fished all night. They caught nothing. They were greatly disappointed. And there's a feeling of hopelessness that comes into their hearts because there is absolutely no life in these empty nets. And brothers and sisters, when we look to the familiar, when we look to familiar people and places and things for life and comfort, God will let us suffer the disappointment of not finding life there anymore. And I can't help but feel this in my heart. It's from the Lord, so I'm going to say it. You know, there are so many people who draw their strength, who want to draw their comfort from other people. We all have that one person or those persons that we're familiar with that when we get discouraged or when we just need some direction, we call them up on the phone. And there's going to come a time that we're going to call them up on the phone and they're going to be giving us their advice. But deep in our heart, there's going to be something that's going to say, you know what? There's no life in this. It's their advice and I hear what they're saying, but you know what? It's so empty. There's no life in this anymore. And the Lord says, that's right. It's an empty boat. It's an empty net. And you need to begin to turn to the Lord. I'm not saying he doesn't put people in our life to pray with us and give us words of encouragement, but I'm talking about an unhealthy dependency. That's what I'm talking about. Where the Lord says, you know what? Every time you call them, you're going to feel discouraged. You're going to feel despair because there's absolutely no life there. It's an empty net. And now you have to learn to draw your life and your strength and your comfort from me. Come to the word of the Lord because I have something I want to say to you. And then Jesus comes to the disciples, sure of despair, and they don't recognize him. Look with me at verse 4. So here they are in this place of despair, discouragement. Verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So they didn't recognize Jesus. You want to know why they didn't recognize Jesus? Because they were so consumed with themselves. They were so consumed with their problem. They were so consumed with their despair. They were so consumed with their self-pity. They didn't recognize him. And brother and sister, let me just add this. That is the most miserable place in the world to be if you've ever been there. I've been there. That's the most miserable place in the world to be consumed by yourself, to be consumed by your problems, to be consumed by your hopelessness and your despair, to be consumed by self-pity. That is the most absolutely miserable place in the world to be. But then Jesus, in his great mercy, asked them a very heart-searching question. He calls out to them and he asks them a very heart-searching question. Look at verse 5, John 21, verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? Brothers and sisters, what Jesus is doing, he's asking him a very heart-searching question. You have to understand, when Jesus asks a question in the Bible, what he's doing is he's probing deep into the heart. He's not just looking for information. He's going deep into the heart. And so when Jesus asked them, have you any meat? What he's really asking them, is there any life in what you're doing? Is it bringing any life to your soul? These old things that you're trusting in and you're trying to find life in them, is there any life there? And of course the answer is no. All it brought was despair. All it done was plunge them deeper and deeper into a pit of discouragement. Then Jesus reveals to these men one more time where the life is at. Jesus reveals to these men one more time where to find the life that their hungry, desperate souls are looking for. Look at verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. So the Lord spoke to these men, and he said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this, the life that you are looking for is in obedience to my word. You want to find life again. You want to get out of this pit of discouragement and despair. You'll find life again when you come back to obedience to my word. That's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, my strength is in obedience. My presence is in obedience. My comfort, my joy, my peace, my rest, it's in obedience. Brothers and sisters, the good news is Jesus knows when and he knows how to come to our shores of despair and bring us back into the pathway of life. The good news is Jesus isn't going to leave you in that place of discouragement. He'll let you feel the discouragement. He'll let you feel the despair when you're trying to find comfort and life in other things. But then there will be a time he says, now, is there any life in this? No, Jesus, there's no life in this. There's no life in going back to old relationships and going back to old places of familiarity. It's just as much death than what I've left. And Jesus says, now, you want to know where the life is at? You want to find that life again? Come back in obedience to my word. The life is in obedience to the word of the Lord. Now look at John 21, verse 17 and 18. I want to bring this out. John 21, verse 17 and 18. And Jesus said the third time to Simon, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou would not go. Jesus says to Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I love you, Lord. And then Jesus says to Peter, Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. That's what he's basically saying. Peter, when you were a young man, you followed the desires of your heart and went where you wanted to go. But Peter, now that you're older, I'm going to start leading you in the places that in your own desires you would never go. Peter, the path I put before you, it's going to have suffering. There's going to be great suffering involved. And Peter, ultimately, you're going to die on the cross. Because if you know anything about his death, he died on the cross. But Jesus is telling him, but Peter, in these hard places, I'm going to be glorified in your life. But see, what I want to bring out here is now Peter is ready to hear this word about suffering. Now he's ready to hear this word about giving sacrificially. Because he knows now that when Christ calls you to suffer, even in suffering, there's going to be life there. Peter can hear this word now because he's done experienced all the death. He's done experienced all the despair of turning and looking to the familiar and the absolute lifelessness of it. And now he's ready to hear this word. He's ready to hear Jesus say, Peter, follow me even in places of suffering. Peter knows that even in places of suffering, life, he's going to find Christ's life in it. He's going to find a strength in it that his own strength could never carry him. He knows in the places of suffering, he's going to find the resources of Christ that the resources of man could never give him. Even the resources of his own heart could never carry him through these places. But he knows he's going to find the divine resource. When he needs strength, he's going to find Christ's strength. When he needs joy, he's going to find Christ's joy in the midst of it all. So Peter's now ready to hear this word. Now, there's so much more that we can bring out of this story, but I just really want to skip through a lot because there's something this morning that God really wants to pinpoint in this story. There's something specifically I really feel the Lord wants to bring out in this story that's just going to encourage some people who need encouraging. I want you to look with me at verse 11. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. So let's just stop there. I want to stop there. I want to look at that a minute. The writer makes it a point to tell us exactly how many fish these men caught in their net. 153 fish. Now, when you look at this, you can just think, we can just read right through it and just think that this is insignificant, that this really is such a small detail. But that is exactly the point Jesus is trying to make. Jesus is telling us that when you walk with me in my will and in my word, even the smallest detail of our lives is filled with his life. He's telling us that. Even the smallest little things that we do for Christ in our everyday life is filled with the life, filled with his life. If God calls us to be a janitor, though in the world's eyes it may not look important, we will find abundant life in it. If it is God's will for our life, and we embrace it with all of our hearts instead of trying to fight against it, we will know a joy and a contentment that worldly men with worldly ambition will never know, because Christ's life is in it. That's what I love about the Lord. When you are walking in his will, even the smallest details of our life is filled with the abundant life of Jesus Christ. And that is something worldly men with worldly ambition will never know. They'll never know that peace. They'll never know that contentment. There is so much rest in just walking one day at a time in obedience to what the Lord tells you to do. Not looking to greener fields, other places. If this is what you know in your heart God has called you to do, and you embrace it with all your heart, there is so much rest and life and contentment in that, that all the ambitious men with all of their worldly ambition will never know. Now, this is what I really feel from the Lord to bring out this morning. This just one truth. We spoke about many truths this morning, but there's just one truth I really feel like the Lord wants to pinpoint this morning. Again, look with me at verse 11, chapter 21, verse 11. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. The scripture says, even though there were so many fish in this net, yet was not the net broken. And brothers and sisters, that is revealing a very, very, very powerful truth, these unbroken nets. Now, if you'll just put your marker in John 21, go with me to Luke chapter 5. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, now, when he had left speaking, talking about Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. It says, and their net broke. So the first time Jesus comes to them and he tells them to let down their net, they obey the word of the Lord and they let their net down. And they captured a great multitude of fish. And the Bible says that there were so many fish that they caught. And the Bible says that their nets broke. But the second time Jesus comes to them in John chapter 21, and he tells them to let down their net. Again, they caught a great multitude of fish. But the second time, the Bible tells us that the nets were strong and the nets didn't break. And I really believe what Christ is revealing to his disciples is the work that he has done in their hearts. Through this display, the Lord is revealing to his disciples his faithfulness to do a deep work in their life. The nets no longer breaking reveals to these men's hearts that they were now able to hold the glory and the power of God in their earthen vessel. These nets that did not break reveals that Jesus has now made these men into earthen vessels that he could put his strength and he could put his power into. See, when Jesus first ran into these men, they were a people that he really needed to do his work in their lives if they were going to be able to contain his strength and his glory. But now he comes back and he reveals to them that I have been faithful to do that work. Now you are earthen vessels that can contain my strength, that can contain my glory, that can contain my power, that I can pour myself into. That's what the Lord is teaching these men. See, right now, these men in John chapter 21 are discouraged, but Christ is revealing something. He's saying you're discouraged because your eyes are on yourself, but now I want to show you something. I want you to see the deep work that I have done in your hearts. I want you to see my faithfulness to work in your lives and make you something into that you could never be in yourself. I know you're in a pit of discouragement, but now I want you to look at the work that I've done in your life. You are earthen vessels that can now contain my glory and my strength and my presence and my power. Was Christ's work in their life an easy work? When you go through the Gospels and walk with these disciples through the Gospels, you see it wasn't an easy work. There were many times of great personal failure. There were many times of facing the fear of the impossibility. There were many times that they were lovingly reproved by Christ. Brothers and sisters, when you go through the Gospels, Jesus was not always easy on these men. He was not always soft with these men. There were times that Jesus would reprove these men. There were times Jesus would say, "Why are you so faithless? How is it you have no faith?" But the end result is Christ had a people that could contain his glory. Christ had earthen vessels that he could put his strength and power into. The end result was Christ now had humble men who knew their dependence upon the Lord, and now Christ could accomplish through them things that they could never accomplish in themselves because of the grace of God that was now in their life. And I believe the Lord just very simply wants to speak to somebody. The reason why you're discouraged this morning, because you got your eyes on yourself. I say that in love. And the Lord is saying this morning, you need to turn your eyes off of yourself and see the work that I've done in your life. See the work that I've done in your heart. There was a time that your nets broke too, but I brought you to a place in your heart where your nets are strong. And your strength is in knowing I've been down this road long enough with God to know that I can't do it in my own strength. But out of that place of humility, that's where he is strong in our life. And the Lord is saying, now that you truly know in your heart that you need me and your eyes are off of self and looking to me, I'm strong in your life. You may not feel strong. It has nothing to do with it. Old battles and trials that would have blew you away a year ago, you're standing in now because your nets aren't breaking. Now I'm strong in you. Not you. You're not strong. I'm strong. The Lord is saying the reason why you're discouraged this morning is you have your eyes on yourself. And trust me, I've walked through this with the Lord. When I say self, I'm talking to me too. I've been here. But the Lord is saying it's time to take your eyes off self and put it back on the faithfulness of God. God has done powerful things in your life. Doesn't matter what the devil says. God has been faithful to us. Faithful to work in our hearts. God has earthen vessels he can put his glory and power into because we're walking in his strength. Stand with me this morning.